Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five and also a pastor of a church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with me today. And on this radio program, we talk about all kinds of things, cultural things, political things, anything that shows up on the front page of the newspaper. We think everything may be commented upon from a distinctively biblical perspective. And we think that Christians ought to have the rights to talk about things and, yes, have opinions about things that tie into, justice, righteousness, and God's law. Now, there are some who say, no, that's not the gospel. Calling people to repentance and calling nations to repentance on the basis of God's laws and speaking to individuals or speaking to larger bodies of individuals that are headed up by human beings and calling them to repentance on the basis of God's laws is not what the gospel is all about. And I say, I disagree. I think the gospel is about faith and repentance and presenting to people the standards of God's word, and then challenging people to repent and form their lives on the basis of God's word. And of course, we've all sinned. And sometimes there will be people out there who will not repent of their sins and will not turn to Jesus Christ for salvation from those sins. We understand that. But I still think it's the responsibility of Christians to take a distinctively Christian approach to, well, things like epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics. We have a perspective, and that perspective is not always the humanist or the socialist approach to these matters. And besides, Dave, I think that there are certain things tyrants want to do, and they should not be doing these things. Tyrants should not be able to do whatever they want to do. We should be able to say, hey, there were certain things tyrants like King Ahab does in confiscating Naboth's vineyard that's just plain wrong. And it's possible for John the Baptist to correct a sexual policy of King Herod. It's okay. It's okay to do that. And I think there can be a level of critique offered. And the benefit, of course, is to God's people. Granted, we may not see that entire institutions are straightened out, but hopefully it will help some who are listening to the program. Now, here we're going to take a look at weapons of mass destruction and Iran's access to these weapons. Now, first and foremost, let me say that I do not believe that the Bible allows for the use of weapons of mass destruction. I believe that the Bible allows for fighting men to fight men and targeted, laser-focused destruction of another nation's manufacturing centers for, say, weaponry. I think that's appropriate. There's certain things that are appropriate, and that according to Deuteronomy chapter 20. But you're not to willy-nilly run through a nation or a city and wipe out all life, including the trees. The Bible is actually sensitive to the destruction of trees. You're only to destroy certain trees that may have some military use. So here we have biblical principles in Deuteronomy chapter 20 applying to warfare, and I believe we ought to apply this to nation states as well. And when nation states target the large cities in order to destroy entire cities with weapons of mass destruction, I believe that this is walking over an unbiblical line in the principles of wealth of warfare, and you'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Well, here's Iran working to develop its nuclear weaponry. And Dave, it's interesting that America is all up in arms against this, America being a nation that already has nuclear weapons. President Obama is hailing a weekend accord that he says has halted the progress of the Iranian nuclear program. That according to a Wall Street Journal article that came out this morning. And here's what the guy says. We devoutly wish this were true. The reality is that the agreement in Geneva with five Western nations takes Iran a giant step closer to becoming a de facto nuclear power. And he goes on and on. Start with the fact that this interim accord fails to meet the terms of several United Nations resolutions, which specify no sanctions relief until Iran suspends all uranium enrichment. Under this deal, Iran gets sanctions relief, but it does not have to give up its centrifuges that enrich uranium, does not have to stop enriching, does not have to transfer control of its enrichment stockpiles, and does not have to shut down its plutonium reactor at Arak. And it goes on and on. Mr. Obama's weekend statement glossed over cannon-sized holes. He said Iran cannot install or start up new centrifuges, but it already has 10,000 operational centrifuges that it can continue to spin for at least another 6 months. The president also said that Iran is committed to halting certain levels of enrichment and neutralizing part of its stockpiles. He's referring to an Iranian pledge to oxidize its 20% enriched uranium stockpile, so forth and so on. As for inspections, Mr. Obama hailed extensive access that will allow the international community to verify whether Iran is keeping its commitments. One problem is that Iran hasn't ratified the additional protocol to its International Atomic Energy Agency agreement that would allow inspections on demand at such sites as Parchin, which remains off limits. So Dave, I mean, as you read what's happening in the relationships between states, people are a little frightened that Iran may have access to nuclear weapons at some point. Pakistan already does. India already does. China already does. North Korea is well on its way. And Dave, these are not necessarily friendly nations to the United States of America. And I think everybody is a little bit concerned that somebody may get access to nuclear weapons who are not going to handle them appropriately. Ergo, they're going to push the button. That somebody who is a depraved son or grandson of Adam will have access to controls over massive weaponry that could wipe out hundreds of thousands, if not hundreds of millions of people at one time. People are concerned about this. And I think I'm concerned too. But Dave, what's to say that the Chinese are any more responsible with button pushing as the Iranians are? What's to say that the Pakistanis are any more responsible with button pushing? What's to say that they are any more righteous, any more likely to submit to the principles of Deuteronomy chapter 20? I just can't see it.
Yeah, we're speaking about Iran. We're really speaking about a rogue nation, a nation that is already committed to the end of eliminating Israel from the map and destroying Jews, a nation that has pretty much publicly stated that it's okay to lie to the infidel in order to advance Sharia law, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Those are disturbing thoughts, and the idea that they would be given the power in order to accomplish that will scare many people. Now, when we start with the White House and the president, I believe that the United States ought to be the most contrite of all nations when it comes to nuclear weapons. Not only do we have them, we are the only nation to use them on a civilian population. When the topic of nuclear weapons comes up, we should be weeping. We should be really convicted by our own sin that we did not trust the Lord as a nation, with our war against Japan. Rather, we inflicted as much harm as we could on a civilian population. I think national repentance is in order rather than national pride. Now, we're hypocrites. We got to say we're hypocrites because we have the bomb. We've used the bomb. We don't want them to have the bomb. They're right. They look at us. They say the United States is hypocrites. But why are we hypocrites? We're hypocrites because we did not obey the law of God. They're not obeying the law of God. And that way we're both convicted. Kevin, you're exactly right that we really shouldn't be using weapons that inflict mass casualties, particularly on civilian populations. That's not how wars are supposed to be fought.
It's ironic that these large cities have developed coincidentally with the development of weapons of mass destruction that are capable of taking down the large cities. There weren't that many cities that had a population greater than 100,000 people around the turn of the 19th century. And yet today, I think there are tens of thousands of cities that are capable of being taken down by these nuclear weapons. Well, should we trust Iran? And are we trusting Iran? And I think, Dave, at a different level, we ought to be very careful about trusting these nations. I mean, for example, the Muslims, as you mentioned, have the doctrine of Taqiyya. And I think that ought to come into play in these international dealings. Taqiyya is the Muslim's license to lie to infidels. It comes from Quran 3:28. Let not the believers take the unbelievers for friends or the companions instead for the believers. If someone does, then you have no contact with Allah. Unless Muslims take precautions and play fake and thus guard yourselves from them. So that's one of the most famous statements in the Quran 3:28. So you can fake it, but you're not to be a friend with the infidel. And I'm not sure that Barack Obama is considered an infidel in the minds of most Muslims. I don't know. I think that's minds most Christians. We're not really sure exactly.
Yeah. Let's just leave that one alone. Look, if somebody's going to rob your house, you don't give them the gun first. You know, that's a principle. But again, I think America is not in a position of higher moral ground here. We regularly spy on our friends and our enemies. We regularly propagandize and are loose with the truth when it comes to our own affairs. So if America is one that speaks the truth, speaks forthright, doesn't lie just because we think it will give us advantage, that would be helpful in these regards. I'm not saying that, that propaganda doesn't play a role in war, but, you know, we haven't had a declared war for a long time.
Let me suggest to you folks that the future may involve a bit of unrest. I guess that's kind of obvious. Especially with these Western Christian nations doing everything they can to insult the God of the Bible, as Mark Twain would put it.
Yeah, I can't think of any Western Christian nations. You mean?
Yeah.
Western to be Christian nations?
Western, yeah, apostate nations. Yeah, I mean, it's rather scary to be living in a nation that is giving God the obscene gesture at every possible opportunity, okay? I mean, at least the God of the Bible. Now, you know, granted, Mark Twain and most apostates today hate the Bible. They still go to Christian churches, but they hate the Bible. But our systems are doing their best to insult God. And Dave, we're going to draw this out in the next section of the program, but a nation that has already killed about 100 million babies since the abortifacient birth control pill came out via Margaret Sanger in 1960, and the abortion clinics got their start up in 1967 in Colorado in the 1973 nationwide. You know, a nation that has already killed 100 million babies, I wonder what God would do to their cities. I wonder if perhaps he might borrow a nuclear weapon from Pakistan or Iran for the purpose of judgment. Now, I know that there are those out there saying, why would God want to judge moi? And moi country? But I'm here to say, friends, that God is in the heavens, and you can tick him off. He calls all nations everywhere to repentance. That's Acts 17, because he will come and judge the world. That's what Paul said in Acts chapter 17. So perhaps a little fear of God would be in order in the White House, Dave, in these discussions between these secretaries of state.
Well, of course it's in order. We can look through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at the Old Testament kings during the divided kingdom era. Those who feared God were blessed. The nation was blessed because their civil magistrate, their chief civil magistrate, their highest civil magistrate, feared God and had a policy of fearing God. And those who didn't fear God, God brought judgment. He brought armies and he brought disease and he brought all kinds of judgments and calamities upon them. Of course, Barack Obama ought to fear God. If for no other reason, then it's the beginning of wisdom and it's the beginning of knowledge. But it's also how you bless the nation. How do you bless a nation? Well, you walk according to the statutes of God and you fear him, and he reaches out his hands of providence to bless you. We'll either worship God in adoration, or we will worship God under the heavy hand of his judgment.
If God took down Tyre and Sidon, Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament, okay, and they were not covenant people. I mean, these were just pagan nations, didn't even have access to anything of Scripture or the laws of God or commands to repentance as the children of Israel did. If God took down Tyre and Sidon, Babylon, Egypt, and Sodom, friends, he's going to have some apologies to give to these countries if he doesn't do likewise unto these Western nations that have done everything they can possibly do to turn away from God, away from the fear of God, away from the worship of God, away from respecting the little babies made in the image of God, away from a biblical perspective of sexuality. I mean, if there was an abomination in Scripture, these Western nations have run after them with everything in them. And Jesus said that the Capernaum that had access to the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the message of repentance at that day. And Jesus said, if there is no judgment upon Capernaum, there may have to be an apology made to Sodom and Gomorrah for what God did to these pagan nations. That is, the nations or the cities that have access to something of the Word of God, they have something of a Christian heritage, and they have turned against it with everything in them. They have set themselves up for a judgment far worse than whatever Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah received in the Old Testament days. I mean, this is a principle you're going to find in Old and New Testament. And I think we ought to take fair warning, friends. Who knows what the Muslims might do to America? Who knows what Iran or Pakistan or China might do in the future? And I'm afraid that there are some reasons for this to happen to this country, unless there was something of a softening of the heart, something of a humbling of the nation before Almighty God. And that would be something if that happened, but I'm not seeing it with the major media. Anytime, Dave, we treat issues like this on this radio broadcast, we get an outpouring of absolute hatred from the major media. They cannot stand the possibility there may be a God in the heavens who might judge them and their nations. This is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back in just a moment. On the Generations Radio broadcast today, and Dave Buhner also in studio, and today we want to make a connection between the weapons of mass destruction with the potential of killing 100 million people in large cities around the world in the next 10, 20, 30 years, and what has happened in the last 20, 30, 40 years thanks to the abortion plague unleashed upon the Western world, largely by way of the birth control pill that has abortifacient qualities, and of course the Plan B pill that is kind of a ramped up abortifacient, and then you've got the abortion clinics that got their start in the 1960s, 1967, and then on into the 1970s. So, Dave, all right, so we've already killed 100 million people. See, people are very afraid of weapons of mass destruction launched on, say, 60 to 100 cities. If they did that, if they launched 60 to 100 weapons upon, you know, 60 to 100 cities and wiped out a million people per weapon, which is actually a little high. But if they did that, which would be a massive, massive unleashing of weapons of mass destruction, if that happened and you started taking down New York City, Chicago, Denver, Kansas City, and you did 60 to 70 cities and you were able to pull out 100 million dead bodies, it would be pretty much what has happened in America. I mean, just America. We're not talking about Russia or Greenland, which, by the way, has the highest percentage of abortions. We're not talking about the whole world. If you talk about the whole world, you're already talking about between 1 billion and 2 billion children massacred in the last 50, 60 years, thanks to this abortion plague that has been unleashed upon the Western world through Western technologies and government funding and Margaret Sanger and Gloria Steinem.
Kevin, roughly 350 million people occupy the United States.
Mm-hmm.
One third of the population that would normally be living, roughly one third, mm-hmm. a little less, let's say a quarter, have been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. One quarter of the population that would be living here has been murdered. Mm-hmm. Well, what would we be most upset about if a nuclear weapon, say, just hit New York City or just hit Washington? Probably the news.
It'd probably make the papers, you think?
It would make the papers.
It would probably even make the Denver Post, don't you think? If they knocked out New York City and be about, 6 million people dead, probably.
Right. And the New York Post would have Bronco game canceled, but that would be their headline, but they'd actually mm-hmm. cover it. Because that's the way the Post is. They mm-hmm. they worship the Broncos there. The sidebar story, the tear-jerking story would be about the child who lost its life or the child who lost its mommy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would go right for the children because the children, we still want to say we love the children. And yet abortion has singled out children. It hasn't gone after adults. Mm-hmm. Abortion has killed babies. We would be upset about the loss of innocent life, but we're not upset about the loss of innocent life. That's the disconnect.
Yeah, and do remember that Albuquerque, the city of Albuquerque, was not nuked last weekend. The city of Albuquerque voted to continue to destroy, and we assume tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of little babies down there, in second and third trimester abortions. I mean, we're talking about babies who can feel pain, respond to their mother's moods, are being systematically destroyed in an abortion clinic down in Albuquerque, and that city went for it at a vote of 55 to 45. Okay? They went for it. And by the way, it was the women that voted for it. If it wasn't for the women, the vote would not have passed. So it was the women that voted to destroy human life. Sadly, in Albuquerque, and I'm not talking about all women. I mean, obviously, there are some godly, Christian, righteous people, men and women alike, that that vote on the right side of this. But the feminists are the ones that vote for this and have done their utmost to destroy human life in America, and that is the story here right before me. LifeNews.com has the story of President Obama awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to abortion activist Gloria Steinem. Just happened. This is November 20th.
What was the name of the award?
The Presidential Medal of Freedom.
The Freedom Award.
The Freedom Award. Yeah.
So this Gloria Steinem got the Freedom Award, because she freed millions of children from life.
No. She didn't free anybody. She tossed a bunch of women into bondage, the bondage of sin and guilt, by encouraging them to murder their little babies in the wombs.
She also encouraged him not to get married, but rather to fornicate at will.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Gloria Steinem that had that famous statement, the liberated woman fornicates before marriage, has sex before marriage, and a job after. I mean, that was her classic line.
A woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle.
Yep.
But if you didn't have fornication, you wouldn't need abortion.
Yep.
So they kind of go hand in glove.
Yep. Okay. So Obama today awarded 16 recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and those recipients included abortion activist Gloria Steinem. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is presented to individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interests of the United States, to world peace, or to the utter cultural and social breakdown of all human society as we know it. Oh, I'm sorry, I added that part. Okay. Obama apparently believes dedicating one's life to promoting abortion is part of that list. In announcing the award, Obama said, "The Presidential Medal of Freedom goes to men and women who have dedicated their own lives to enriching ours. This year's honorees have been blessed with extraordinary talent, blah, 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 blah." After learning of the news, pro-life advocates on Twitter were dumbfounded that Steinem received the award. Obama gives Medal of Freedom to a woman who described killing her unborn child as a pivotal and constructive experience in my life. Ouch. There's an ouch.
Pivotal.
Pivotal and constructive. I would have thought that to be more deconstructive. As in deconstructing a little child. You know, you pull apart its legs and then you pull apart its ears off of its head and then suck its brains out. That sounds deconstructive to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Steinem has a long history of pushing abortion as the founder of Ms. Magazine, who held fundraisers for Obama during his campaign. Obama has also given Presidential Medal of Freedom to abortion activists like Senator Ted Kennedy in 2009. Obama has awarded a medal to pro-abortion former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Not only did O'Connor repeatedly promote an unlimited right to abortion throughout pregnancy during her tenure on the Supreme Court, she authored the high court decision that overturned state bans on partial birth abortion so that the guy Warren Hearn up in Boulder, Colorado, could just keep ripping children apart limb by limb and sucking their brains out. He wanted to continue that process. So that's how you get a Presidential Medal of Honor these days, Dave. Also, Billie Jean King, the professional tennis player from the 60s and 70s, big, big pro-abortion activist.
Huge lesbian.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Oprah Winfrey got one.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Bill Clinton got one.
So is this thing worth anything? I mean, Dave, I don't think I would ever want a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Mm. I don't think I have to worry about getting one, though. I don't think they're even considering me.
Well, not as long as Obama's in the White House. I would say your odds are thin.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one more story before we break for the day, my friends. Here's California. And this is more bad news. I don't want to be all bad news today, but it looks to me like we got a fair amount of bad news. Here's California. It becomes the first abortion capital of America. Apparently, the governor, Jerry Brown, just signed into law a new law that repeals every pro-life law, whatever it happens to be. So I don't know what they did. I guess they just said, if there's any law, we can't find them all. I mean, there's so many laws to go through. I mean, it would be a hassle to go through all the law books to find anything. But if there's anything in any California law book that would even smack of being pro-life, you know, decent, you know, trying to defend human life on any level, we're against that. We just want you to know we're against anything pro-life in the state of California.
So the murderers will start being executed this week, right?
I don't know.
Because they got a huge prison overpopulation problem. Well, as long as they're not pro-life, right there.
Well, I think if somebody's murdered, you should let them out of prison, right? Because they're saying, forget any pro-life. You want to defend life? Forget about that. Let all these guys out of jail. I guess. I don't know.
No. They should be executing them.
No, you're getting...
Keeping them alive would be pro-life.
You know, it's just who you want to keep alive, Dave. No, it's just... Yeah, I guess you could kill them or you could let them go. I think you want to let them go to kill others. I think that's the whole idea.
But
the whole idea
one
is
in the
to,
hand is worth two in the bush.
Yeah, but the whole idea is to get people to kill innocent people. That's the commitment of the liberal, Dave.
You don't want to kill guilty people? Why would you want to kill guilty people?
No, nobody wants to do that. You know that. That's just the opposite of what Californians want to do. Okay, most pro-life advocates were concerned about a bill that would open California to abortions done by nurses, other non-physicians. Governor Brown signed that bill, but another one, AB 980, received a signature as well.
Non-physicians. Hold on.
Yeah, now non-physicians can.
You're going really fast here. So if I go kill my neighbor, can I call it an abortion and get away with it in California?
I think your neighbor has to be under 9 months old.
I can't use like a stand your ground non-medical.
If your neighbor is under 9 months old, it's open season. Governor Brown signed that bill, but another one, AB 980, received a signature as well. According to a new report in the California Catholic newspaper, AB 980 will repeal each pro-life law next year, including informed consent, which provides women information about the risks associated with abortions before getting one.
Are they going to inform people that the informed consent law is no longer there?
Yeah, I guess they'll have to. Well, this is bad. This is bad news for California, but no real surprises. California's been moving that direction in a while. It's interesting, Dave, though, that the Texas law was upheld by a circuit court, and Texas set a fairly decent direction this year. California went the other direction. It could be that the second Mayflower concept of some nations, some states doing better than others is going to kick in, and there may be a second Mayflower in the years to come. Now, friends, it's just always the way it is. There are some places on earth far worse than others. That's why I put together the evil index. I'm going to break down states eventually with that index. It'd be nice to get some help from anybody who's interested in helping me on the evil index. Let me know. But I'm working on the evil index in order to identify the worst nations on the basis of several indices, one of which is abortion. Of course, there are others as well, including divorce, homosexuality, et cetera, et cetera. Some nations, some states doing far better than others, thanks to the fact that there are faithful men who are faithfully discipling nations according to a biblical world and life view. So that's a good news. There actually is progress being made some places on planet Earth, but certainly not in California right now. Hopefully someday there will be decent churches in California that will make some progress, really make some progress in discipling that state and moving it more towards a godly approach to defending righteousness and justice in the highest courts of the land. Well, my friends, you can interact with the Generations Radio broadcast by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. I do encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, which introduces a lot of the things we've been talking about in this program and delves into them in some depth concerning what states should be doing and what is a basis of righteousness and justice as defined by God's word and applied to the civil magistrate. If you're interested in some of these things, please get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.